Namaste, Jai Ma. So we are with Collected Works of the Mother, Volume 11, Notes on the Way, where the Mother is describing some of the most profound experiences with the body. But it's not just with the body or understanding the body from a either a rational, scientific or a yogic standpoint. It's experiences when the supramental force is working upon the body. So how it works and what are the problems that come up, what are the processes. So this is the ultimate stage of yoga. We may say so that after 62 particularly, the mother was engaged with the final ultimate stages of the yoga, which is about the bodily transformation. And as we know, the body is not able to easily bear this energy, and very easy to take it, understand it, that even if we are a little happy, angry, sad, excited, the human body is unable to contain the onrush of these very normal, ordinary energies to which, which is endowment from the animal nature. Some people begin to tremble, people get tears. So what about the supramental? It's beyond, we cannot even imagine what its impact would be on the body. It answers also this question that people expect that the supramental transformation should be done just like this, because now that the highest power of the divine is there. So, which is the supramental, which is the, above and beyond any mental power. So people expect, oh, now it is there, body should. Now the problem is that what all can be done with this power is, one is remove an illness, that's easy enough. Second is that, the consciousness can withdraw, separate itself from the body, like in ordinary yogas, normal yogas, and even if something is happening, it doesn't affect you because you are out of it, away from it. But neither of these two things is ultimately allowed. I mean, I'm saying allowed is only when you are entering into the yoga of physical transformation. Ordinarily, it can be done and it is done. But the moment the transformation starts, it is something like a regulated, graduated pressure. So as the pressure comes, the body, the cells, the various components involved in the body structure functioning, they respond. And they respond sometimes with an opening, they respond with resistance. Now this cannot be bulldozed by the greater power. But if you do that, it gets crushed. So a right balance has to be found between the response of the body, its resistances, and the pressure that is put. This is the pressure that people often talk about, the pressure of transformation, which is very acutely felt here. And this is very true, at least some of us, I myself been outside almost 40 years and last 25 years here. And I know the difference of the pressure which comes here. And Sri Aurobindo spoke about particularly this area called as the ashram. I mean by that the samadhi area, called as the ashram is a building. Otherwise ashram is all around. So Sri Aurobindo did remark that when is it necessary to really come and live here? So he says generally you can do the yoga outside and all the stages you can do outside. But for physical transformation, this is the place where one should come. Again, he has not said it is indispensable, but he has said it's better. Because one, the right pressure, this is the laboratory where it has been conducted. So it's very intense pressure, intensity of pressure is maximum. If the experiment goes out of control, I am using a scientific term, then you have several cushions. The mother herself would send some people to lake, and I presume even Auroville is something similar distance. So if you go a little far, 10 kilometers away, then the pressure which is felt is in intensity, it is lesser. But if you are right here, you are next to the Agnikund. And this pressure can become very tremendous, and human body can start throwing up certain symptoms which people unfortunately label as illness, and people wonder why people are falling, you know, ill, especially these parts, back and below, joints, bones, they are very resistant, tooth, skin, and they unfortunately start visiting a doctor who takes it as a conventional illness, starts giving medicines, and then there is the formation of illness. So there is a diagnosed illness, making things very much more complicated. But well, that's the way. Doctors don't understand this dimension. Even doctors who work, who are connected with the ashram, don't understand that there is a different working, because they still see in terms of physical symptoms and categorize them as diseases. But the same symptom, just even in modern medicine, the same symptom can be caused by number of physical factors. Similarly, the same symptom can be caused by number of inner factors. So the mother is speaking of those factors, the highest factor which leads to these symptoms which come up. Among them, pain is a very common thing. And she speaks of pain as the sign, not of resistance of the ego. There are so many ignorance. There are so many letters of Sri Aurobindo. Very interesting. I have observed this within myself, and say people having headache, and you know, and I had read this letter that, you know, it, when the force is descending, sometimes resistances rise up and you can experience it as a headache or a pain in the neck. And I used to see this. You can actually look into yourself and find where is the resistance. So obvious. And by removing it, you can take care. And but normally what happens, you take a pill, or you know, if it persists, then you go to a doctor. And obviously certain things may be going on within the body, and if they are picked up at a point of time, you had it, because now you are it's a different disease altogether. So this is all this and much more she is explaining to us. And we are reading some of these things. So now we read the portion of the next conversation, 12th January 1965. And repeatedly mother says that, you know, you have to learn to hold on. That's why mother and Sri Aurobindo were never keen to pull very young people, all kinds of people. We have all these sometimes in our over enthusiasm. We have, you know, camp, seminar, all kinds of things. On the other hand, people who are claim that they are doing some kind of physical transformation process by invoking the grace light and all. This is such a, I don't have a word for it, because obviously it's a completely mistaken idea of yoga. Of course, nothing wrong. People come, have a good time. They turn towards Mother and Sri Aurobindo or toward divine some way. That's okay. But one should not confuse it or mistake it for the authentic yoga. So she is, because when the process starts, 9 times out of 10, people won't be able to bear it. That's why, unless there is a call, Sri Aurobindo was very particular about the call. If you have the call, what is the call? It means now it is in something like which is not only inevitable, but something which you just have to follow. Imperative. Call means imperative need to do this yoga. You can't otherwise stay. So when that has come, that means generally you have been scanned that you will go through the challenges, because challenge, after all, transformation is not a cakewalk. You are walking from one species to another. Look at the degree of transition. So the mother says, the whole thing is to hold on. And to hold on, I have found only one way. It is this calm, the inner calm. A calm that has to become all the more complete as the struggle is more material. So peace, calm, equanimity is the first basis. They should be established firmly. Otherwise, the moment a little bit of turbulence, this starts, somebody falls ill, some desire frustrated, some wish not granted, even these things throw us topsy-turvy. Human nature is very far from what she is speaking about. So the disciple speaks of something of Okay, there is one more interesting sentence. And you must remain like this. Mother becomes immobile like a statue. And when physically you have been shaken, you must not ask too much of the body. So that time, some rest has to be given. You must give it a good deal of tranquility, a good deal of rest. This is the thing which has to be done, should be done. And then her force takes over. Of course, you are open to her and it takes care. So the disciple says, the difficulty is that I am very much disturbed by the condition of this body. It takes away much of my consciousness. The physical mind, for example, invades me completely. So how does the physical mind come invade with all kinds of doubts? Am I having this? Am I having that problem? And then there are all kinds of suggestions which are floating around. Everybody is a doctor. Not only in India, I suppose everywhere, but in India everybody is a doctor. Everybody is a counselor. And everybody is a little mad. This is bad. So you are invaded by all kinds of suggestions from, I don't know, some brands of oil to this, that therapy to doctors, people diagnose. Everything happens in the mind. So the physical mind invades. And now here it's not somebody else. Sadhak's own physical mind is invading. What could it be? Is it something serious? So physical mind is like that. So the mother says, yes, I know it very well. But that is always the difficulty of everyone. That is why in the past they used to tell you, get away, leave it alone to flounder about, you get away. If the body is in a distress, ultimately, even great yogis, what is their ultimate? This matter, this useless, done its purpose, let's go out. So this used to, because it's very challenging, this process of the body. But we have no right to do that. It is contrary to our work. And you know, you can arrive very well at an almost absolute freedom with regard to your body, so much so that you can feel nothing, nothing at all. But I no longer have even the right to exteriorize myself. Just imagine. So this very important to understand our subsequent experiences. Because on one side, if she wishes, she can just go away in a trice. That's how the mother explains one place. She says, oh, immortality and merger with Sri Aurobindo. Long back we used to experience it. It's very easy. Immortal consciousness. But that's not what she is striving for. But in the body. So the whole problem is there. So she cannot leave it and go away. And then she would say on a very personal note, when I am quite unwell or things are quite difficult, or even when I am left a little quiet, that is to say at night, and I say to myself, oh, to go into my blissfulness, it is not permitted. So this is the state which almost all who are into this yoga have to go through at some point, not all the time, only in the last critical stages of the transformation. So you just can't say, okay, now I'm withdrawing and I'm into my inner silence. And then she says that when there is a work, then the precise action, the power comes, does the work and goes away. And then again you get into that pain. Only from time to time for a precise action, the great power that was there before, that used to be constantly felt, comes rushing. Does its work, then goes away. But never on this body. It never does anything for the body. It is not a higher intervention that will change it. It is from within. So this experience which people can have, that consciousness comes, does the work. But body change is a much more prolonged, it's a very deliberate process. So people find it very difficult to understand that 1 minute, you are having aches and pains. Another, absolutely as if nothing is there. And then again, back to that process. So, when we read it all, it's very clear. So, she says, the same thing is happening to you, to the disciple. It happens to everybody who does the work. And that is the difficulty. That is why I tell you, it does not matter. Do not worry. If you are occupied with your body, only try to profit by that. So how to profit it? Profit by this preoccupation to bring into it the peace. The peace. Always it is as though I was enveloping you within a cocoon of peace. And then if you could put precisely into this mind that vibrates, stirs all the while, truly like a monkey, if you could put there, it is a peace which acts directly on this material vibration, a peace in which everything relaxes. So she has given us the remedy. She has told that everybody who is going through this process, it's not that everybody is going through the process, but there comes a time when the action begins on matter. And then you will experience this. Suddenly the power comes for the work, then goes away, then the body is into that state. And what is to be done? Again, she is speaking of calm, peace, tranquility. When the body draws us, so instead of getting afraid and full of fears, call the peace. And also she says, bring that peace also into the physical mind, which is all the time stirring. And relax in this peace. Do not think of trying to transform this physical mind or to silence it or abolish it. All that is still activity. Simply let it go on, but put the peace. Feel the peace. Live the peace. Know the peace. The peace, the peace, that is the only thing. Okay. Then there is another very interesting conversation, 24th March 1965. Again, she is speaking of the pain which comes in the process of. Now again, this is not the normal pain that everybody experiences in life. So we should know the difference. The background and context is the yoga of transformation entering into its penultimate stage when it's working on the body. Normally when people have pain and fever and all, they are miserable. You can't, like, mind is fully with it and you can't ask the person to undertake an activity. And nor is the experience that when a person is undertaking activity, a power takes over and everything is fine and then this returns. So we have to understand this is, she is referring to a stage. And she says, endure. Suppose you have a pain somewhere. The instinct of the body, of the cells, is to shrink and to seek to reject. See what normally we do, which is understandable. Your consciousness withdraws from there, the mind is diverted, and then you reject the pain. Even one can say that I am not this pain, I am not this body. These are all methods which are well known, and in this yoga they are done, but long, long back, much before. Then she says that is the worst thing, that increases it invariably. Why? Because now this won't do. It is because of a different reason. It's the force which is acting. You can't reject that. It's way too powerful. Therefore, the first thing to teach the body is to remain immobile. To have no reaction. Above all, no shrinking. Instead, one has to relax and widen instead of shrinking. Not even a movement of rejection, a perfect immobility, that is bodily equality. So in the mind it's like, okay, I'm not reacting, no fear, anxiety. But the body itself must learn to relax. There is pain, but also along with that, there is the sense of relaxing, opening, immobility. This is the first. After the perfect immobility comes the movement of inner aspiration. Now this aspiration, of course, she is referring to aspiration in the body, but at whatever level the aspiration is coming, the aspiration, what should be? The surrender, that is to say, the spontaneous and total acceptance of the Supreme Will, which one does not know at that point of time what is going to happen. So you aspire and invoke the Supreme Will with a complete acceptance, almost an abandonment. That whatever is going to happen, not with fear, whatever is going to happen, not like that, but with complete trust that this body is yours, whatever you do with it. So when one does it, that acceptance, that surrender and giving of oneself, total acceptance of the Supreme Will, and then she qualifies it. Does the all will want things to go this way or that way? That is to say, towards the disintegration of some elements or towards, she puts a question mark, some things may get disintegrated. Don't let the physical mind, this again and again, this is at a certain stage of yoga. If one is not in that state, one doesn't start, trying things just like that. But this is an experience which people go through. And there also, there are infinite shades. This is the passage between two heights. I speak of cellular realizations. Do not forget that. I mean, one has a certain inner poise, a poise of movement, of life, and it is understood that while passing from one movement to a higher movement, almost always there occurs a descent and then an ascent. It is a transition. So what it means is that basically that you will feel as if, that dullness, that fall. Here she is not talking of descent in terms of the descent of the force. It's already working. And then after some time there is a recovery. And then there is a very good, even the physical consciousness ascent. So that's what she is referring to. The transition. Then, does the shock you receive push you downward to make you rise again? Or does it push you downward to abandon the old movement? So, either ways, this pressure of the supramental force may push you down. You confront the movement which you have to throw out. Or it will be done for you, actually. It's actually done. Because it's a process happening in the body. Because even when the will rejects the mental movements, emotional movements, still vital movements, still in the body it sticks. So those bodily reactions, nervous reactions, so. For there are cellular ways of being that should disappear in order to give place to other ways. This is the second point. There are others that tend to rise upward again with a higher harmony and organization. So this is the process that happens. So there is a seemingly apparent so-called breakdown, and then there is a working which goes on. And if you endure, stay calm, be in peace, offer, accept the divine will, surrender, have the aspiration, then at the same time you see certain parts are suddenly rising up because the action of the same force. So this is the second point. And one must wait and see what should be. Above all, there is the desire to be at ease, the desire to be in peace, all that which must absolutely cease, disappear. One must be absolutely without reaction like this. Gesture with palms open of motionless offering upward. So this is the state one has to enter into whenever there is this physical condition. And then when one is like that, after a time comes the perception of the category to which the movement belongs, and one has only to follow in order to see whether it is something that has to disappear and to be replaced by another thing, or it is something that has to be transformed. So this is the state in which one enters. And then she says, this is what is called physical yoga. So, again, in the name of physical yoga, we see people doing all kind of imagination exercise and they start feeling blissful in the body. All that is elementary. It's a good thing. Fine, I mean, if you want to do it, nothing wrong with that. But don't call it cellular yoga. We don't even know what these cells are. Cellular transformation. That's where the problem lies. All this is fine. I mean, guided imagery is wonderful. I mean, but that's different thing altogether. It calm the mind, calm the body. But guided imagery is not physical yoga. Physical yoga, the body has opened already to the divine mother's force, the supramental force. And then the working has started. There is a lot of things which go on. And then this process. Once you are in the process, you are in the process. You can't just, after some time, say, I abandon. You have to go through it wherever it takes you. Whatever way it takes you. You just can't take it that, you know, it has to be like this, it has to be like that. Your mind cannot direct it. So all these processes where the mind is directing things, they're still very, very, very elementary. I'm saying this because this is the tendency which often I see sometimes. I don't say anything, just a namaste, quiet programs taking place. But we must know, this is what is called physical yoga. These are her words. One must overcome all that, like anxiety and all that. And the only way to do it, at every second, all the cells must be offering upward in an adoration, in an aspiration, an adoration, an aspiration, an adoration, and nothing else. That is the state. You can't manufacture adoration just like that. Adoration is truly giving of oneself. Aspiration is not imagination. It's something very concrete where the body really offers itself in a flame to the divine. Then after a time there is also delight. Then that ends in blissful rest. When this trust is established, all will be well. But, and this again to be remembered, it is easy to say, it is much more difficult to do. So these are not things which can be done as a 1 week, 10 day course, worst of all where you are paying money. I mean, you can't. Or through a person who will become a channel. This is between the mother and the person. And then we come finally to a very interesting stage in this yoga of the body, physical yoga, which is called as transfer of power. She's used this word several places. So what really is transfer of power? Transfer of power means that ordinarily, and we can understand it in very human terms also, like there are transfer of power, what happened in Kashmir. So there are some people who have the right to do whatever they are doing, whatever way they are conducting. But when the transfer takes place, now they don't have the right, somebody else has the right over it, territory. So transfer of power means up till now, all the forces of the lower nature of Prakriti, they are acting upon the body. That's how it is. And the body accedes to that. The vital pushes it in one way, the mind in another way. The body's own processes, nerves, particularly the nerves, they will react in certain ways. It's a tuning, it's a working, which has been there for millenniums. Transfer of power means now all these parts are slowly taken up by the divine power, divine Shakti. So as the experience that we read, the mother describes that suddenly it comes, and even if you are having pain and everything, that power comes and takes over and you do absolutely as if there is nothing. That's one example of true transfer of power in certain dimension. So slowly the supramental power force, or if you want to put it divine mother, that's what I prefer to call, she begins to take over. And Shubhendra speaks of that instead of Prakriti, now the Shakti begins to move us. So in traditional yogas, Shakti is Shakti there. You can pray, worship, get some intervention, normally from some aspect or the other for your everyday life. There is no change involved. But here, there is a change involved because now the Shakti, for change, it is different from intervention. Change now means it has to take over, adhikrat. Now this is mine. Intervention is, I have a problem, and I pray the divine force intervenes. Let's say an illness, and the illness is gone. But my nature remains the same. All, I come back and little bit we learn, but again we have a tendency, proclivity. But in every part of being, now when it takes over, then when the taking over is complete, that means in that particular part which has been taken over, the movement completely now begins to change, because now it's in the hands of the Divine Mother and the Divine Shakti. Shobindu speaks of this much earlier in Yoga and the Objects, where he speaks about the Divine Shakti which begins to take hold of the vessel. But it's, of course, he has said repeatedly, it's not an easy process, because all nature rebels against it. It doesn't want. That's why the process is slow and deliberate. And two things which are a big problem in that is the physical mind and the material mind. So physical mind is a mind which runs by habit. Even if you say, it's like somebody joins the ashram, let's put it like that. That's a very concrete example. So people expect that now you have become, joined the ashram, or you have become an ashramite, so to say. So you'll be all changed. No, it doesn't matter. Because even though you have, at some level, it's understood now, I mean, understood, not really lived, that now your life, mother is taking care of your life, though most people take it very lightly. But still, by old habit, the nature continues the same way. This is the challenge. Because the physical mind, to which has, is, acts like a clock. So that will automatically bring in all the elements to which it has been accustomed to. And this part is the last to change. So if one is looking for a specimen, transformed specimen in the outer nature, this is the last to change. Sri Aurobindo describes in Savitri, in book 3, canto 3, that's where he describes that finally the surface consciousness which changes. And Sri Aurobindo says it's the last to change. At the same time he says, if this doesn't change, nothing really, my real work rests upon that. So surface consciousness, surface habits, all formed by the physical mind. They are from parents, from here, their environment, one has picked up, and physical mind has put it in its system, and it acts like that. This is the part which is the most tail of the dog which doesn't get straight. So the question is, how do you remain, define the this physical mind, which was made the object of the transfer of power? So here it is the mother's experience which has been described. So she says, it is not the physical mind. It is long since the physical mind has changed. In her, the mind, which is a bundle of habits, reacts with fear, anxieties, automatically. She says, that has been changed. But now it is the cellular mind, the material mind, which is something still deeper. So to understand the difference, physical mind is the mind which fixes the habits and tendencies of thought, feeling, what we call as character of a human being, which is largely the outer behaviors and things like that. The cellular mind is each cell, because of its own experiences, has a certain way of reacting. So for example, when cancers take place, there is a tendency to recur. Why? Because now cell has taken the imprint, and it's one example is where you learn typing. So the cells automatically, or when you are driving, a part of the body goes in a certain way automatically. So here the cells have something very similar, and they react in certain ways to which they are accustomed. And then there is the material mind, which is the mind operating in matter, fixing everything at the atomic level. After all, there is an order within the atom. It moves in a certain pattern, in a certain way, even in a certain rhythm, which is amazing, mind-boggling. So what has fixed it? The material mind. So these are the three levels. And all three are operating at any given point of time. So she says, it is the material mind, not even the material mind. It is the mind of substance which belongs to matter itself, to the cells. That is what was once called the spirit of the form, when it was said that mummies kept their body intact as long as the spirit of the form persisted. This is the material mind which preserves things. And it's very difficult to even to bring in a change. You see, when you go to a office where, old time office, where things were piled up, stacked, people just don't move even to ask something which is legitimate to get it done. It's something like they are fixed in the way they act. Now this is of course happening at an outer level, but similarly the physical matter, substance of the cells, it habitually reacts. So sometimes things come up again and again, again and again. So the person says, then what is the difference between this material mind and the physical mind? She explains, the physical mind is the mind of the physical personality formed by the body. So as the body has developed, gone through certain experiences, and it has picked up things. For instance, we instinctively pick up the habits of the parents or those significant people around us. It grows with the body, but it is not the mind of matter. It is the mind of the physical being. For example, it is the physical mind which gives the character, the bodily character, the physical character, and which is in a large measure formed by atavism and by education. This is the physical mind. This is easy to understand. And then she says, yes, it is the result of atavism, of education, and of the formation of the body. It is what forms the physical character. For instance, some people, that's why when we were children, we were told, jhukke mat chalo, don't bend and walk, and you know, things like how to walk, because there's a time when habits are being formed. So if you form certain habits, it's so much easier later on. But if you form wrong habits at that point of time, it's very difficult to get rid of them. So that's the mind, which physical mind, which shapes the bodily character, ways of being, and approach, which includes everything, eating habits and sleeping habits. For example, there are people who are patient, people who are strong, etc. Physically, I mean, not for vital or mental reasons, but purely physically. You have a character. It is the physical mind. And this is part of all integral yoga. You go through the discipline of this physical mind. More than 60 years ago, I did it. So, so this is the physical mind which is determining our character. Which includes all the habits, bodily habits basically. But then the disciple asks, but then for example, this mind which is spontaneously defeatist, having all sorts of fears, apprehensions, always seeing the worst, repeating always the same thing, is it the physical mind or the material mind? It's a very good question. She says that is the most unconscious part of the physical mind. And that is the link joining the physical mind and this material substance. Because matter has been molded through millenniums. Under what forces? Impact of, we can't even imagine. Rudra forces have acted upon this bodily matter. Not bodily matter, but matter. If we go back to the history of evolution, how, what tremendous forces have impacted, needed it. All that is there in matter itself. That's why you see rocks form in certain ways, crystals form in certain ways. There's a whole, even there we can almost say there's a habit. There's a certain temperature at which it will boil. Because there's the most material mind which has fixed all these things. And that has an impact even on the physical body and the physical mind. That's why when we have fever beyond a point, we can't bear it. Because the material mind is there. And this material mind, which over physical matter to plants and lower animals, has experienced so much struggle in the evolutionary process. It doesn't know grace. Grace, the idea of grace comes much later. Faith, grace, they are high things, and when if they come, they are so wonderful. But instant reaction is, oh, nothing can happen. Nothing will happen. So, nothing can happen, nothing will happen. So this is the tendency of the most material mind. So this is the most unconscious part of the physical mind. But it is the link. But it is already an organized mind, you must understand. It is the most material part touching the mind. This cellular mind exists in animals, and even a little, very little, as a promise beginning in the plants. they respond to a mental action. They do respond. So it's a mind. So somewhere it is connected with all the entire mind. It's the beginning stirrings of mind which is there in matter. Animals almost instinctively react to all kinds of illnesses in such a way. And they have this inbuilt programming inside. As soon as life manifests, there is already a promise of mind. Whereas this physical mind truly begins to exist only in man. So that's where the character begins to form. It is this which very little children already have. They already have a physical mind. So we can take an example for instance. Now how do animals manage their daily routine? They go by what is called as instinct. They don't have this conception that you have to take a bath, or you have to wash your hands, or you have to go to a toilet. It's difficult to train them to go to the toilet. Is the cells respond in certain ways and they act almost spontaneously. But then on top of it comes the physical mind. So already there is this instinct. Now physical mind is now habits that form as we grow up through a family. So every family will have its own habits. So on top of this material mind which is already there in the animal, even in the plant there is a response. Now there is this physical mind which has come. Of course, there are many other levels of mind, but she is explaining what is happening here. No, the physical mind, as soon as you take up an integral yoga, must be dealt with. Means all this being tied to certain habits and ways of life, as if we are not going to, and mother had her own ways of breaking these physical mind and its habits here. As I've spoken of that, when Ravindraji was given the work of distributing eggs, he would not touch eggs. Yes. When we would touch the egg, there would be a reaction. He has to distribute eggs. How does he do it? So she had a ways of breaking these knots of the physical mind, which almost, you know, work in certain fixed ways as we have grown up. So why they should break? Even if they are helpful, because then if they don't break, there will be no room left for the transfer of power. The higher work, power doesn't work according to the fixed norm. One classic example is Sri Aurobindo. See, when did Sri Aurobindo have his breakfast? Some people ask. So, it could be 9, it could be 11, it could be 1 o'clock, at one point even 4 o'clock evening. Oh, you see, this, but our physical mind, oh, it's already dining room, let's go. So this is the problem. But with Sri Aurobindo, even his bath, now many of us, because of this habit, feel very uncomfortable, unless we have a bath. But you see, with Sri Aurobindo, because his water was prepared in a certain way, mother would herself supervise, it's very amazing to see. Shubindo's, you know, later on it was constructed, the bathroom, and how mother has organized it and how she would personally supervise that everything is, of course, the Lord and so many forces, God knows, which are working. And that would happen sometimes as late as 1 o'clock afternoon. Now, normally we have this idea, that's why he says these ascetic habits become such a barrier. Normally we have this idea of, you know, that ascetics, they get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, take a bath and do their mantras and japa. So here is some consciousness is so open, so supple, so vast. It's not restricted to anything. Then she says, the greatest difficulty which the material mind experiences and the body experiences is in the nerves. And this is what we'll see people having, neurogenic pains. And if you read Savitri toward the end, it's very interesting when death is being described. So, Sri Aurobindo writes that light, the Divine Mother's light is working on this darkness. Light was a torture in the nerves. Because nerves are extremely sensitive to all the things in the world which are happening. All the interchanges. So there is the subtle nerves and then there is the physical nerves. So they are interconnected very closely. That's how we pick up many things, vibrations and all that. So we pick up through that. Now when, because nerves are open to all kinds of things in the world, interchanges. That's why the mother would say that, you know, this going out, mixing freely with all kinds of people, going in crowd. She would not advise to the sadhaks. And if at all people went, it had to be, you asked for special protection. Because these nerves are extremely sensitive to picking up all kinds of vibrations. Whereas we have to give this nervous system entirely. They are the controlling org. I mean, if you look at it, they are the wires that control our system. When we use the word hardwired, basically brain and the nervous system. That is hardwiring us. Just as the heart is the dynamic energy. So this is where nerves begin to rattle and crackle. The greatest difficulty is in the nerves, because they are so accustomed to the ordinary conscious will that when it stops and the direct action from the highest is asked for, they go mad, as it were. The other day I had this experience which lasted more than an hour. And it was difficult, but this taught me many things. Many. And see, with mother's nervous system, First World War, she had experienced this, the entire impact of all that was happening. And he says, Shobindo annulled it. It remained in the background, subconscious. And it came up again when in 60s the physical yoga started. It was there in the subconscious that had to be dealt with. And all this is what can be called the transfer of power. The former power withdraws, this where she is explaining. Of course, we can say the former power in general is the lower nature and all its forces. The former power withdraws, and then before the body adapts itself to the new power, there is a period which is critical. As all the cells are in a state of constant aspiration, it goes relatively quickly. But all the same, the minutes are long. Now she is speaking of her own body and cells, that though they are all in aspiration, still it takes time. And finally, she says, as I said, it is in the nerves that the experience is the most painful, naturally, because they are the most sensitive cells. After all, everything, pain, touch, taste, everything is picked up by the nerves. And these nerves are connected to these subtle nerves again, which is open to the whole world. So, because they are the most sensitive, if you cut an organ, if there is no nerve, there will be no pain. There will be no taste, nothing. Everything is because nerves are picking up and they are the extremely sensitive part. Those that have the most acute sensation, but they have a very considerable, very spontaneously strong receptivity without any effort, for this very reason. That's why you see the brain, the transforming light coming down into the brain. Very strangely, if you actually cut the brain, brain will not experience any pain. But you reach the site, it's painful. Nervous system is picking up, all the nerve endings are there. But here there are no nerve endings, not required. Brain is very well encapsulated. And for each part, nerves have been arranged in such a way to pick up the pain sensation when there is a problem. But here the problem is not illness, but a transfer of power. So they are not used to the new power, the new impact. It's like whenever government changes or things change in a department. So initially everybody, unless the previous person was very horrible, then they say whatever change will be a welcome change. Otherwise, generally, for it takes some time. Unless the person is exceptional, just trying to study people, some of them, you know, the various reactions which start in an office environment when a head changes. So something similar during transfer of power. And this physical vibration, what might be called a physical force, a harmonious physical vibration, spontaneously harmonious. The nerves are extremely sensitive and receptive to this vibration, which puts them right immediately. This harmonious vibration is the Divine Mother's force. So that only That alone can put them right. And it's so difficult to explain. I have seen people who have been here. They are going through this, but they want a painkiller, and you have to tell, explain, but people continue. Because if you live here, by the very fact, beyond a point, this pressure tends to increase. And people often wonder why there is all, they go through all this pain. Well, they are crossing over. As simple as that. It is very interesting. It explains much, explains many things. A day will come when all this will be explained and put in its place. It is not yet the time to reveal, but it is very interesting. I have truly the impression that it is being organized. The work has begun to be organized. Naturally, one must carefully avoid allowing a mental organization to intervene. So what is the mental organization? Doctors. What is happening? Pain. Oh, okay. Diagnosed, medicine written, sent, this scan done, that, finished, gone. If you find there is a problem, if you don't find, it is a bigger problem. If you tell a person nothing is there, hurry, I am suffering, you are saying nothing is there. So this is the difficulty which challenges one faces. Naturally, one must carefully avoid allowing a mental organization to intervene. That is why I do not try to explain too much. The mind would come in, and then it is no more that. So we'll stop here and continue this next Thursday. Jai Maa.